When you hear the word home, what comes to mind? Do you picture a place from your childhood? Or perhaps the place where you raised your own family or children? Do you imagine where you live right now? Or some place you only dream about? When you think about home or hear that word, what feelings does it evoke? For many of us, there is some distance between the idealized versions of home that we often see on TV and in the movies and what we actually experience. Our lives are complex and multi-layered, and so are our experiences of home. I sense that there is within each of us a longing for home. Not to go back to a particular place or the way things used to be, though some of us may still wish for that. For most, I think it might be a longing for a home that we never had. For some, this could be a physical dwelling place. Maybe you've always wanted to own your own home, but that has never been possible. Maybe you're a city dweller and you dream of a plot of earth to plant a garden in. And maybe home is less of a physical dwelling and more of an idea or a feeling. Perhaps you long to be at home in your body and in the world. We are each formed by our earliest experiences, for better and for worse. But you know those people and places that formed us. They have limited power. Power, certainly. But they do not get to define us forever. And so if you ever feel haunted by past injuries, I hope that this community is helping you with doing the work of moving through that pain, of transforming it so that you can be free to be who you are, who you were born to be. In many ways, my childhood was a pretty idyllic one. I grew up in a middle-class suburb where we kids roamed freely, something I regret that children don't get to do so much these days. We played ball out in the street and up in the vacant lot a few blocks away. The kids at our end of the street, we formed an army and we fought in fun and mostly playful ways, the kids who lived at the other end of the street. And we all spent long days exploring the woods and playing in the little creek that ran through it near where we lived. I remember one warm summer day when a few of us kids were lying on the grass in the shade of a big oak tree. If I imagine this now, it's like a picture of what childhood is supposed to look like. Kids lying around, just lazily talking, nothing important going on. But remembering back to this, when someone's mom called out, "It's time to come home," I remember feeling a pit in my stomach. Our house held tensions that I felt but didn't understand until much later. My dad was mostly absent, both physically and emotionally. My mom was there, but oftentimes didn't seem that happy about it. I sense now that trying to fit into the limiting experience and expectation of that time, being cast in this role of housewife and mother, I sense that that was often frustrating and unfulfilling for her. When I was about 6, my parents bought some land an hour away down in South Carolina. It was an old farm with a house, a barn and a tractor, a creek and a pond. Most Saturdays, my brother and I went there with our dad, and I loved roaming around those fields and woods. And when I was a teenager, I started building my own log cabin there. With a chainsaw, I cut down four trees and notched them and laid the first course of logs in a rectangle, resting on four cinder blocks at the corners. But like some other things in my life, other things happened, and I never got any farther than those four logs. A few years later, my dad was forced into bankruptcy, and the farm was sold. And so I never have been back, though I have occasionally looked down on it from Google Earth. But still, when I read or hear a story, I often find myself placing that story in that place, picturing those fields, that particular long dirt road, that pond. That land still occupies a place in my imagination, though I've not been there for decades. And in that way, it feels more like home than the house I grew up in. Maybe that's what home really is, the place that holds memories and meaning. Some of you have told me about the hurt you experienced as children. Some of you have suffered at the hands of a spouse or partner. For you, home may not evoke warm feelings at all. It may be the place you needed to get away from, to leave. And still, don't we all need places that we can call home? Places where we are safe and loved and accepted just as we are. I think of those words from Anne Lamott about her little church and why she made her son Sam go there, because she says it offered a path and a little light to see by. When I was at the end of my rope, she writes, the people at St. Andrew tied a knot in it for me and helped me hold on. The church became my home in the old meaning of home, that it's where, when you show up, they have to let you in. They let me in. They even said, "You come back now." I hope this church is that kind of home too, where we welcome you just as you are, where we hold open a space for you. I think we could get a little better at the "you come back now" part. I sense, and I'm including myself in this, we can be shy about this, right? But if you have found something good here, then don't keep it just to yourself. Invite people you know who might be hungry for what we have to offer. Offer to bring them with you. Don't be shy about saying, "You come back now, here." On this Sunday before Election Day, I also find myself thinking about home on the national level. And it seems, doesn't it, that these days our national home is in trouble. Seems to me that the events of the past couple of years have torn the scabs off of some wounds in our country that we now see have never really healed. We've seen with our own eyes fresh evidence of racism and prejudice, violence and threats of violence against those who have always been at the margins and had less power in our country. GLBT folks and women and immigrants and people of color and disabled people. If you care about liberty and justice, Things don't look so good right now. But I, a week or two ago, started to realize that this brokenness is also an opportunity. Because who among us can now pretend that things are just okay? It's like the screen has been pulled back and we have all been witnesses to it. After the election, it's obvious there is going to be a lot of work to do mending the fabric of our nation. There's lots of healing that needs to happen if we are ever going to be the kind of country we say we want to be, where we welcome those seeking a better life, where out of our diversity we are one, united in our love of liberty and justice. I'll have more to say about this after the election, but I hope you will join me in these days in praying for our nation and in looking for ways to help it start to heal. Our church building is a polling place on election day. And this year, given the divisive tone in our country, we will be keeping our sanctuary open all day for quiet reflection. We'll have candles right here in case people want to come in here and light them, and some quiet music playing in the background. And I hope that this beautiful and sacred space of ours will remind people coming to the polls that we are in this together, that we are all part of a great love, and we are called to love our neighbors, who are, by and large, good and decent people. I hope the people who come in here on Tuesday will sense the spirit of this place and the spirit that you bring in here and that you share here. And that, I hope, will bring them some peace and some hope. Lord knows we need as much of that as we can get. So in these days, let us set about this work of homemaking, building the land we dream of. I challenge you to find at least one way this week that you can help out with this, to reach out to someone who is different than you, maybe somebody you disagree with, and try and build a bridge across that difference. Will you look for an opportunity to do this? You might just say hello to a stranger on the street and see what happens. You might offer to drive a neighbor or a friend to the polls to vote. You might offer to buy somebody a cup of coffee so you can sit down and really see and hear one another. Let us be the change that we seek. My prayer for us as individuals and as a nation is that we will set about building that house of blessing that John O'Donohue described in our reading this morning. May this be a safe place, full of understanding and acceptance, where we can be as we are without the need of any mask or pretense or image. May this be a place of discovery where the possibilities that sleep in the clay of our souls can emerge to deepen and refine our vision for all that is yet to come to birth. May this be a house of courage, where healing and growth are loved, where dignity and forgiveness prevail. May it be a house of welcome for all, and may we have eyes to see that no one arrives without a gift, and no one leaves without a blessing. Aren't we all seeking this kind of home, where healing and growth are loved, where dignity and forgiveness prevail? We are all homeward bound, aren't we? And this is our faith, that we are all part of a great love which is our home and will never let us go. We are here to share that love, to help one another, to help and heal and bless our world, to sing our songs of peace, now and forever. Amen. Our hymn is number 159.